And welcome back to our live legal call-in program, 1-800-LAW-CALL. I'm Frank Luber, along with our guest attorney here this evening, Carrie Staton, from the firm of Shakur, Federico, and Staton, where you could get answers to any concerns you may have about medical negligence, wrongful death, or personal injury that may involve yourself, a friend, or a loved one. The call number is 1-800-LAW-CALL, just like the name of the program, or 1-800-529-2255. You know, Terry, we talk a lot about these wrong site surgeries, as they call them, and they do make a lot of news from time to time, where a surgeon has actually cut off the wrong leg, operated on the wrong person, all these kind of things. And you say, how in the world could that happen? But it does happen, and it apparently is still occurring all too frequently, even though there have been certain protocols that have been instituted, and apparently the doctors are not following them.
You're right, Frank, and this dates back to an original study that was published in 2006, commissioned by the Department of Health and Human Services Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality. They studied patient reports to medical malpractice insurance carriers, which came in between 1985 and 2004, regarding surgeries performed on either the wrong person, the wrong body part, or using the wrong procedure, and found back then in 2006 that it happened once in every approximately 112,000 operations. That's way too frequently. And so the Joint Commission on Accreditation of Hospitals, which is the independent agency that accredits and certifies healthcare organizations throughout the U.S., introduced a universal protocol in 2004 in an effort to reduce these wrong site procedures. And it uses it's not a complicated protocol. It uses a list of processes and procedures to help doctors determine whether they're using the correct surgical technique and they're operating on the correct patient, or whether they're got it mixed up. Well, a more recent study published in the Archives of Surgery unfortunately tells us that despite the use of this universal protocol, wrong site surgeries are still occurring. The researchers looked at 27,000 self-reported adverse occurrences from physicians, and the study found that 107 wrong site surgeries and 25 wrong patient procedures were performed from 2002 to 2008. So, Frank, that's not just getting the wrong body part. That's getting the wrong patient.
Wow.
So the root causes were examined, and as you might imagine, communication errors were among the most common, and it occurred in 100% of the cases.
100%.
Communication errors. Wow. Well, imagine, if you're a patient who's scheduled to have a surgical procedure, and you've had diagnostic studies leading up to that procedure, somebody's got to tell the doctor what the results of the diagnostic studies are. Somebody's got to tell the surgeon and remind him that you're Frank Luber. You're not Tom Marr, who might be lined up for another surgery.
Even though we don't look alike, but they could mistake us, I guess.
Well, imagine, if you will, it's the voice, Frank. It's the voice. Imagine, if you will, a surgeon who, like most surgeons in this country, have surgical days. They dedicate a day to go do their operations at the hospital. They don't operate every day of the week. And they don't do one surgery a day. So their patients are stacked up like flights over Dallas. And they go in and they identify the patient. And they say, okay, you're here for an appendectomy. You're here for a tonsillectomy. And the nursing personnel and the technological staff put the patient in the OR. And they prep the patient while the surgeon's scrubbing in. And into the OR, the surgeon goes. If the surgeon walks into the wrong OR, he's got the wrong patient. If the surgeon anticipates doing an amputation, for instance, that's what you brought up, the surgeon looks at the film, and we've had instances where the surgeon put the x-rays up backwards and so operated on the wrong body part. That's what happens. Hospitals have now gotten better, and they actually mark the body part on the patient's body. But it takes what the Joint Commission calls a timeout. A moment where, before you commit to a definitive course of action with the patient, the surgical team, that includes the surgeon, the anesthesiologist, the scrub nurse, the surgical tech, everybody involved assigns a person to say, okay, folks, let's go down our checklist. Do we have Frank Luber, or is it really Tom Marr? Right. Is he really here for an appendectomy, or is it something else? Do we have an X-ray, and if we need to look at it, is it facing the right way on the screen? Let's check the paperwork. Let's check the patient. Talk to the patient.
I was going to say talk to the patient himself.
But you need to communicate with the anesthesiologist so that the anesthesiologist doesn't put the patient to sleep before the surgeon gets in there.
Right.
Because then you lose your ability to talk to the patient. It's not rocket science.
But speaking of rockets, it's like the space shuttle, though. I mean, you know, minutes before blast off, they have a timeout. They literally do. And they go over every little thing to make sure everything's going to be okay.
That's right. Well, Frank, our audience needs to know that we had a timeout here to make sure our paperwork was ready
and all set
before we put the show on the air.
Right.
And it doesn't take much.
No.
And what this is a radio show. We're not taking a patient's life in our hands.
Right.
So it's even more important for healthcare providers to take the time to get it right.
But all too often, that big C word comes up, and I'm not talking about cancer in this particular case, but communication, lack of. And in this particular case, this study showed that communication errors were the most common occurring, as you said, Kerry, in 100% of the cases. Wow.
100%.
Unbelievable. So the timeout is something that, you know, there's no reason, no rhyme or reason why doctors can't take a few minutes.
Frank, it's a mechanism, it's a protocol that will be effective 100% of the time if it's utilized and utilized properly.
Sure.
So I can only imagine that these residual cases, you know, 107 with wrong site surgery and 25 where they're wrong patients. Now, of that number, 43 of these patients were horribly harmed, and one patient even died because of surgery being performed on the wrong body part. That number should be zero, and it can be with a protocol that the Joint Commission designed, not just for doctors, but for surgical teams.
Sure.
Which includes, as I said, the nurse, the anesthesiologist, the surgical techs.
And I would hope that these timeouts, as you said, include the anesthesiologist and that the timeouts are actually done before the patient is given anesthesia. So he or she has some input.
They said, yes, the Joint Commission says that the timeout should be conducted in what they call fail-safe mode, where everybody's up and running, the patient's there, available to communicate with the healthcare team. The healthcare team is available to communicate with each other and with the patient, and nobody's committed the patient to a course of action which is irreversible.
All good advice, and I just hope more and more doctors follow through on this timeout. This is something that is universal now throughout the country, this timeout procedure?
Yes, yes. The Joint Commission designed this universal protocol. Frank, they introduced it in 2004. We're here in 2011 reading about a study which shows that these errors are still occurring.
Wow, unbelievable. You're listening to our live legal call-in program, 1-800-LAW-CALL, with our guest attorney here this evening, Kerry Staton from the firm of Shakur, Federico, and Staton. And Kerry is here to answer your questions if you think there is a possibility that you, a friend, or a loved one has been the victim of a medical mistake or misdiagnosis which may have resulted in injury or death. Our phone number, very simple, 1-800-LAW-CALL, or numerically 1-800-529-2255. And when we return, we'll tell you about the large baby that will have to go through life as a one-armed person in a two-armed world.